Now, Talk Real Estate, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services.
Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara, and you are listening to Talk Real Estate. I am going to be your host for the next hour. Let me share a little bit about my background before we get started. I am the broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate, located on the South Shore, and I have been working as a full-time realtor and sales and marketing consultant for home buyers and home sellers for the past 15 years. I have helped hundreds of clients throughout the home buying and home selling process. My unique approach to assisting my clients to the next chapter of their lives is driven by being a team player and by offering them continuous training, education, advising, and mentoring. I like to say that I offer my clients exceptional service that moves you. Every week, I will be providing you with real estate topics ranging from home buyer and home seller advice, legal matters, insurance binders, flood insurance concerns, home inspection questions, environmental worries like radon, lead paint, and mold, mortgages and loan programs, staging tips and ideas, real estate contracts, market trends, home values, and more. It's a talk radio show, and sometimes we are even interactive, so you can follow along online. If you have any questions during the show, please call 781-837-4900. We love to talk real estate. If you missed any of our shows, or if you want to listen to one again, you can listen on my podcast at talkrealestateradio.com. If you would like a one-on-one consultation with me regarding your home sale or your home purchase, I'd love the opportunity to meet with you. You can connect with me anytime at bostonconnect.com or 781-826-8000. Now, sit back, relax, take good notes, and let's talk real estate. And hello to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara. You are, of course, listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara. We have Ryan in there dancing away. He just loves the jingle of our nighttime show.
This is my time of night to just let loose.
Yep, letting loose with us, that's for sure. So you never know what's going to come out of our mouths, Ryan. That's for sure.
Keeping me on my toes.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I have my co-host with me here today. I have Cindy Ford with me. Hello.
How are you, darling?
I'm good. Busy, busy day. And, lots of closings.
Yeah. Busy day of the month for Boston Connect.
Yeah, the last day of the month is always that busy one for all of our closings and
crazy.
Everything. So I saw you running around in your suit and all that. I came right from the office. Yep. We also have Alyssa McNamara Reed with us today.
Yes.
Hello, Alyssa from McNamara Financial.
Good evening. Thank
is the
you.
End of the month mean anything to you?
Not
or
really.
Is it just really the end of the
month?
Yeah, you're
not
just
really.
Like every day. Every day's a busy day.
Tax time's a little busier than other days, but
yeah,
more past that. So,
so we have that behind us. So now it's time to vacation or something. That's what I feel like. I feel like I need a vacation. I feel like I missed a month of my life, but. I'm happy to be here. We're live.
Right.
So if you are listening, if you're on your way home, we're going to check in with Malcolm in a little while. But 781-837-4900. 781-837-4900. If you have any questions for us regarding real estate and, more importantly, financial planning, advice, what do you sort of consider yourself there, Alyssa?
A financial advisor. So anything in the financial planning realm or asset management realm would fall under the realm of what I do. So,
yes, absolutely.
One would need assets, though, in order for you to manage
that. Well, that would be correct.
Okay, yeah. So I don't need your
financial
services right now.
Assets, not real estate assets.
Right.
But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
when
just
you
making sure we're clear.
When you
that.
Accumulate some of those, Cindy, you give me a call. But I also help people accumulate, so
okay.
I can
All
work
right.
in that regard as well.
Yeah, see, I've been talking to them for years. It's that
it's
middle
working.
Name that she goes with, McNamara. So
yes.
Michael McNamara. So, again, for our listeners, you've been on a couple times with us at night.
Yes.
But Alyssa does a show on Saturday mornings from 8 to 10, and it's called McNamara on Money. And I know all kinds of good stuff happening on your shows. You do all kinds of sort of interactive things, too. I know you've done like a planning session with people.
Yeah, we've done a few live financial planning sessions where we got volunteers and we changed their names to protect the innocent and all that, and mm-hmm. actually walked through basically just went through the exercise that we go through in our meetings with actual clients so mm-hmm. that people can understand what it means to create a financial plan, because I think that's something that people don't always understand. They don't understand why they might need it or might be interested in it. So that's been pretty cool to do some of those live on the air. And it's mm-hmm. helpful for the person that volunteered too, because they got a free They got some free advice, and so it's been mutually beneficial. So it's been really fun. Yeah.
And being organized, I think, you know, especially with today's topic, you know, we're going to be talking about, you know, planning, you know, from real estate and, you know, finances, you know, on, you know, the death of a loved one, right? So our family just went through something just a couple of weeks ago. So we thought that this would be sort of a topic that we could sort of chime in on. It's something that you deal with all the time.
Yeah, unfortunately, I do. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, we have a family member who passed recently. So it was sort of top of mind for me, and I thought it would be a good topic for the show. But also in our office, you know, my father is almost 70 years old, 69 years old. And so the clients that he's worked with for 20 and 30 years are aging. And so we're starting to get to the point where, unfortunately, we've seen some of our clients pass away recently. I mean, we always see that over the course of the business, but we've just had a bunch of them like in the last few months, and it's really hard to see that. And it's a stressful time for a family. It's very emotional, obviously, but it can be financially stressful. We see a lot of, you know, the stress that just finances cause, or not knowing, not understanding. But also we see a lot of families, unfortunately, that fight over money when mom or dad pass away. So I'm pretty passionate about trying to help families avoid those awful situations.
Yeah. And that's why seeing them beforehand is always better. So we're going to get into that more. Right. And I hate to sort of bring Malcolm in on that note, but Malcolm, how's the traffic? Hopefully better than this topic.
Oh, yes, but we're still looking at some delays, Sharon, coming down the expressway. Good evening to you. This report brought to you by the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. It's still sluggish getting down through Savin Hill, again at Granite Avenue to the Braintree split, northbound from Andrews Square right up into the O'Neill Tunnel. Route 3 a little slow just getting off the expressway. On Route 128, you've got delays from 2A down to Route 9, Route 1 down through Canton, and 28 down to the Braintree split. The Crohn's and Colitis Foundation invites you to take steps for cures at a walk event near you. Get started at cctakesteps.org. Traffic on the nines every morning. I'm Malcolm Alter in the WATD Traffic Center.
Don't miss a minute of Talk Real Estate. Check out the podcast page at talkrealestateradio.com. Talk Real Estate, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate.
And we're back. Welcome to all of our South Shore neighbors. And it doesn't sound like the traffic's all that bad. So if you get stuck in traffic, the good news is you get to continue listening to us. You are listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara, Cindy Ford, and we have Alyssa McNamara Reed with us here today. Phone number, Ryan's watching the phone, 781-837-4900. If you have any questions on this topic, please call in. I mean, this is the best time for, really, you have Alyssa here and the advice of Cindy and myself, you know, when it comes to real estate. You never, I feel like you can prepare and prepare. Look, I mean, your dad, it was actually Nana who passed away, so it was your dad's mother, and I still feel like there's so many moving pieces.
Yeah.
And I worry for the people who haven't had the opportunity to have everything organized. And Sin, I know you lost your mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. How many years ago was that
now? It'll be almost 13.
Oh, my goodness. Then you lost your mom.
Six.
No, sir.
I swear to God, I would not lie to you.
I literally was going
to
say 2 winters ago. But that's how time flies.
Yeah.
So being prepared for these times, it's almost like, and do you feel as people are getting older, do you feel that they feel the necessity to do it more, or is it a little more nerve-wracking?
I think if they've had a personal experience, they're more inclined to do it. I just had a gentleman in the office this morning, and he had a friend that passed away at a fairly young age, 52 years old, passed away very suddenly, and it rattled him to the point where he wanted to make sure that his finances and his legal affairs were in order so that his kids would know what to do if something happened to him. Mm-hmm. But same thing, like if an adult child has gone through the death of a parent and they, you know, especially if it's someone who's involved in settling the estate, like the executor, what's called the personal representative of the estate, or a trustee on a trust, if it's someone like that who's gone through it firsthand and who's seen how much work and stress it can cause, it really motivates them to get organized and make sure that things are done in an organized way, or maybe done differently if they saw mistakes that were happened that they had to deal with. But it's a very obviously emotional time for people, but if things aren't if things aren't done properly in advance, it can just cause a lot more stress than it should unfortunate time.
Yeah, and I can't even imagine how those wheels would spin if things weren't organized the way that they were. And one of the things too, Alyssa, that we've talked about is, you know, you're talking about, you know, Michael McNamara's, his clients are getting a little bit older, and as that happens, and when we recently adjusted, I mean, I think it's important for people to remember, look back at your wheels because, and how you had things set up, and, you know, we're a very good example of how, you know, we're looking at the hierarchy of life, so to speak. And, you know, Michael McNamara was, you know, he was our healthcare proxies. He was our estate, you know, the executor, or what do they call it now?
Personal representative.
Personal representative. And you have to have these difficult conversations. And when we sat down with him, he said, you need to pick somebody else because I...
Because he's almost 70 years old.
Yeah. He's like, chances are you are going to outlive me. So it doesn't make sense anymore, which I thought was very professional and just very to the point of your dad too. Like, how hard is that to say to your brother?
Right.
You're going to outlive me. Like, let's just...
Right. Right. It's just common sense. Right. I mean, another example of that is actually the same gentleman that I met with this morning who had the friend that passed away. He was talking about his legal documents, and he wanted to update his will, and I mentioned, do you have a power of attorney document which allows someone to make financial decisions for someone who's not deceased but someone who's incapacitated or can't make the decisions on their own and can get access to financial funds? And he was talking about that he had named his daughter as his power of attorney. Meanwhile, 10 minutes ago in a different conversation, he was saying how the poor decisions that his daughter has made throughout her life financially, that she's not a very good with managing money, et cetera, et cetera. And then he's telling me that she's his power of attorney. And there was like just a huge disconnect there.
Yeah.
And we, you know, had to have a discussion about, you know, maybe it's time to relook at that and freshen that up. Even though she's your oldest adult child, is there someone else that might be better with money that will have access to your money at a certain point? So it's just things like that. You know, you really shouldn't do a will when you're 25 years old and then not look at it again for 30 years. You know, things change in your life. People pass on
and the ages
people are
of
born and, you know.
Yeah, the ages of your own children. I mean, you know, at one point I had to worry about, like, what would happen to Casey and Mackenzie if anything should happen to myself and Mark at the same time or whatever.
Yeah.
And so we had to change all those things around, you know, and then really equalizing the will a little bit, you know, who's in school, who isn't. I think Caitlin did a wonderful job when she had done all of that.
Caitlin Robinson.
Caitlin Robinson. Did a fantastic job on that. So I know that, you know, it's just, it makes so much sense. And now, particularly that we're going through that. Do you have specific other tips that you want to talk to with people? You know, I think the before thing makes more sense to me. Do it before, so when you get there, it's not a problem.
Yeah, I mean, think it out as best you can beforehand, and the best way to do that is obviously to sit down with an attorney and sit down with, you know, your spouse if you have one, and your loved ones if you have adult children. It might be conversations that you have with them just to let them know your wishes and, you know, who's designated as a power of attorney or a trustee or a personal representative, so that everyone understands what's going on. So just planning it out as best you can. And you know, if you let an attorney know what your wishes are, this is what I want to happen with my money, this is who I want my money to go to, I would like this, you know, X, Y, and Z, an attorney can interpret those wishes and put together the appropriate legal documents. Maybe it's just a will, but maybe it's also a trust. It depends on what your wishes are. You know, and obviously the other legal documents like a healthcare proxy and a power of attorney and living will and all these things, they sort of come as a basic package. So obviously the preparation of it is really important. But, you know, my main talking points were what to do when someone passes away, whether it's sudden or whether it's expected. Sometimes the family's in a position where they have no idea what, let's say it's a maybe mom and dad, maybe dad already passed away and now mom has passed away. So maybe it's the second of a couple. And, you know, sometimes the adult children have no idea what mom and dad had for assets or account. They don't know where the accounts are held. They don't know anything about anything. Maybe they weren't looped in. It's very common for them not to be looped in with the finances of their parents. But, you know, just knowing what to do in that situation. And my first thought was just to, you know, call the trusted advisors. If there's a financial advisor, call them. If there's an attorney that prepared the documents, call him or her. Or even a tax advisor. Any one of those three people can, you know, get them pointed in the right direction because they would have intimate knowledge regarding, you know, either the legal aspects of the wishes, whether or not there was a will or a trust, a financial advisor would know where the assets are held, and they might have copies of legal documents, and a tax accountant might know, a tax professional might know about assets as well. Maybe not. I don't know if they would know about legal documents, but just but I would just start there if you know who those trusted advisors are. You know, a lot of my clients will, you know, staple our business cards right to their will or something like that, or just have a little handwritten note, you know, call this person if something happens to me. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, Cindy. Did you have a question?
I did.
Okay.
But we're
just
so
tell
intrigued.
Me to zip it.
But no, it's gone.
That's sorry.
What happens to Cindy.
It does. It goes instantly. That's why I have to interrupt.
But what if you...
I was talking about, what if you don't have a trusted advisor? Is that what you were going to say?
No, thank you, Shay. Yeah. What if you... if you don't have a will... she knows me so well. Yeah. If you don't have a will, then these people, can they... They can tell you what's going on, but can you access any of that money if need be, or
like do you have any like confidentiality?
Oh, of course we do.
So
you're kind of asking two different questions, Cindy. Number one is sort of what happens if you don't have a will, and another question might be what sort of information can we divulge to kids of people that die, or you know, even spouses or family members of clients that pass away. So obviously we can't give any information out to someone who we're not authorized to give information out. But if someone but we can give generic information. Like if someone calls up and says, my name is, you know, my name is John Smith and my mother or father just passed away, and, you know, can you give me any information? We have sort of a generic letter that we would give to them with not any account specific information, but maybe just some ideas of what sort of assets were held, but we would need proof that this person is actually authorized to receive the information. So either they're a named beneficiary and we confirm that, or they have the will that states that they are personal representative.
But is there anything if they don't have a will, say they just don't have one, and they have all this information, you've got beneficiary information, is there anything in your documents that would allow a family member access, or would they have to in fact have a will? Like, could you have something in your documents that say, if my daughter Sharon, you know, wants to access this, and she may not even know, or would she have to sign something? Or
so is that the beneficiary page that we have to sign?
Yeah, so well, sort of. When someone is, if someone has passed away, so there's a power of attorney document that allows someone to make financial decisions and access financial account information, but that's if someone's living. So once that person passes away, the power of attorney document is irrelevant. But we would be able to see, assuming it's a type of account that has named beneficiaries and assuming the client has actually gone and named the beneficiaries. Yeah. Sometimes people just put my estate, which is not a good idea. It's sort of a whole nother story. But if we would be able to see the name, likely address, date of birth, and maybe social security number of that named beneficiary, so we can confirm that that person is that named beneficiary. And if that person is that named beneficiary, then we would divulge information specific only to the accounts that they're entitled to and the portion that they're entitled to.
But I'm assuming, and this is an assumption on my part, that when you have that conversation, one of the conversations you have with people that you're working on it is, do you have a will? And if they don't, you're suggesting that they get a will because that just...
Because things are very, very complicated. If you have assets and you don't have a will, things can get very complicated and quite honestly, just a pain for people that are entitled to your assets. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's on our checklist of things that we review annually with clients. Are your legal documents updated? Do you have a will? Do you have a power of attorney? We often keep copies of that power of attorney document if our client wishes us to in our secure document storage location, so that if someone needs it, in a pinch, we have it and they don't have to go rustling through mom or dad's files or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. We generally don't keep copies of wills. We do keep copies of trust documents if we're managing a trust for someone. So we have some information there already. But, you know, there are times when, you know, if we don't have a copy of the will, we don't know who the personal representative is. We need to see proof of that. They actually get a document from the local court that would name them as a personal representative and they would give it to us. But to answer your question from a few minutes ago, Cindy, there, you know, can someone while they're living, you know, authorize us to give information to X person after their death. You know, that's never happened. It's really not a legal document and probably wouldn't ever be anything that we would accept. Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We would go through the legal process of confirming that they are entitled to get the information. You know, if we're managing a trust for someone, we generally have copies of the trust document that names who the successor trustee is. So if the primary trustee passes away, we would immediately know who the second person or persons in line are, so we can contact them and they can pretty immediately have access to those funds if it's in a trust.
Mm-hmm. So doing things in all these orders and getting these things done is imperative, because it could be how long? If you don't have a will,
it could be in probate, right? Everything would go through probate.
I think probate takes like on average about 18 months in Massachusetts, yeah. I want to say. It's not a fast process.
No.
You know, where, again, I'm not a legal professional, but where possible, I would have discussions with clients about naming beneficiaries on accounts where possible, because a beneficiary designation, like on a retirement plan, IRA, 401k, Roth IRA, those type of accounts, a beneficiary designation would supersede a will. So if someone dies and they have $100,000 in an IRA rollover, it doesn't matter what the will says regarding who gets the money. If there's a named beneficiary on that account, it goes direct to those people in whatever percentages the client elects. So it supersedes the will. A will has no control over an account that has a beneficiary listed directly. So most retirement accounts have...
Let's talk about that. From just a perspective. Yes, if you had a big family,
yeah,
you had one of those, you know, siblings that would be like, hey, mama, why don't we go take a ride and make me the beneficiary? And the mother might be thinking, that's okay. I already know in the will it's going to be Sally that gets everything.
And it's a common misconception.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe... I'm pretty bright when it comes to this stuff, just because I have bright family members and I surround myself by very bright people.
Yeah.
I never heard that before.
Really?
Yeah. So 781-837-4900. You're listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford, along with Alyssa McNamara Reed. And we're talking about, you know, from the financial perspective and a real estate perspective, what to do with the loss of a loved one. So it's a morbid topic, but it's so
necessary.
It is. It's very confusing for people. It's very stressful. I've not even gone through it personally. But
no, yeah, but even when someone passes and then you potentially, you're talking real estate, want to sell their property, there's a whole lot that has to be done there.
Oh, sure. It depends on how the property is owned. Was it owned by that person? Was it in a trust? What type of a trust was it in? Mm-hmm. How many ways is it intended to be split? If there's five beneficiaries and it, you know, in the will, and it was just owned by the person, so the will is controlling it, does somebody want to keep it? Do other people want to sell it? Yeah, that can get really dicey as well.
Yes. Yeah. I can get really. Well, one of the things, I mean, what I'm writing down in my notes on top of your notes is just some of the key things that are sticking in my head. And just the suggestions, because as you're speaking, I thought, gosh, what if anything ever happened to me and Mark at the same exact time? Mm-hmm. You know, my girls might be smart enough to know, oh, I bet mom and dad kept everything in this like safe, you know, the fire safe box, right? As I'm sitting here, I'm thinking,
do they know the code?
No. I don't even know the code, Alyssa. So if Mark died, I don't even know the code. Like I always
can help
have to
you
say,
break in.
Yeah, well,
I'm in.
Yeah.
That's a little scary. Cindy knows how to.
Maybe I have a couple of family members that could help me out too. But so that's like really important. So I think that, I mean, even though it's a little tidbit, write everything down. Like I love the idea of what you said, like with your business card on top of it. But I almost feel like, you know, when we made the switch from Michael McNamara, we chose you. And that was a tough decision. I had a conversation with you because I knew it's not an easy decision. But, you know, it's a big responsibility. And I didn't want to put that on her on top of her own three children and her own family and everything. But she was game to do it, I guess, or she pretended that she was. Anyways. So, but I think that that's important that I say to my girls, listen, if anything happens, you have to call Alyssa. And I'm just going to create a document and I'm going to give it to you and you can just keep it wherever the heck you want it.
And we've had clients do that before. We have had clients give us like a sealed envelope. And actually right now we use electronic storage, but in the past, you know, people have given us like a sealed envelope and it's handwritten, you know, when I pass, give this to my kids. And we don't open it. It's hard now because we have electronic storage and we'd have to scan it. But people have done stuff like that. I'm going to give a little plug now for...
We also have a caller too.
Oh, so. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. We'll do the plug afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we have a caller. We have Brian from Marshfield. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're doing great. How can we help you tonight?
Well, I can't believe you're talking about this right now. Unfortunately, my brother passed away this weekend.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And we are right in the middle of all this right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry
to
hear that.
A couple of things. I know it looks like his house was, you know, underwater, that the outstanding is probably exceeds the value
mm-hmm.
on his property. And we were wondering, is something like that, you just give it back to the bank, or is there a provision for that somewhere?
What type, was it a traditional mortgage he had on it? It wasn't a reverse mortgage, was it?
No, it was a personal mortgage.
A traditional mortgage, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, traditional.
Yep.
Yeah. So my suggestion would be is to call the bank and see how they want to handle that. But if it ends up being one of those processes where the bank may say to you, you know, so does he have anyone that's like that the house was going to? Because now I think it tends to be that person's responsibility. So I don't know who he has as
children.
Just the three of us siblings divided equally, with my other brother as the executor.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, I would call the bank. I would contact the bank first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And what my guess is that they may say to you is, now, you know, you need to hire a real estate professional. What we do in these situations, we call it a short sale. So, you know, when we go out and do analysis, so Cindy and I both do this, we give an analysis, and maybe we say, the house, if it was sold on the market right now, the market value of this house is $300,000. And then you're telling me the house, he owes $400,000 on the mortgage. What we do is we put the house for sale and we call it a short sale, so everybody's aware of it. It takes a little bit longer, the process. When we get a buyer, they say, fine, we'll pay $300,000 for it because that is the market value of it. What then we have to do, you accept it. Okay, so now you're responsible for the sale of that property. You and your two siblings accept that offer and say, we're willing to accept your offer. Now we have to go to the bank and say, okay, bank, here's the situation. We have an offer for $300,000. Will you forgive that other $100,000? I know I owe you $400,000. We can give you three. Will you forgive the rest? And there's no, you know, implication to you for, because you're inheriting this. I can't imagine that it would ever affect your credit. It was your deceased.
Well, what if, I don't know if you know the answer to this, Sharon, but if there are assets in the estate, does he have any other assets? And would a bank go after assets in the estate?
Nothing significant.
He doesn't have any retirement accounts, bank accounts?
Well, that's the interesting thing now, because we went through his paperwork and so far, all the paperwork stops a few years ago, but we suspect it's all on his computer.
Oh.
And so now we're trying to open up the computer and see if we can kind of reverse engineer what was in there. But, you know, without things being written down, you know, we have no way of knowing, you know, what his accounts were. Maybe we go through his web pages to see if there's something there. But
Who was his bank? I mean, his bank would be
enough that, you know, having that all written down is so important.
Absolutely. Now, who was, like, if he had a local bank, I would suggest that you go to that bank as well, because they would probably be able to go through his profile. And if you're already on there, you know, as an executor or whatever of his estate, did he have a will?
Yeah. Yes, he did, fortunately,
yes. Yes, great. So, I mean, the bank may be able to tell you, has he even been paying the mortgage? You know, he may already be in a situation.
Yes, last payment was May, so he's probably...
So he's been current on that. It's just that when he purchased the house, he probably bought at the height of the market in 2004, 2005, and then he probably, you know, paid high and hasn't recovered yet, which is surprising to me unless he's been doing some refinancing and stuff. But, you know what?
Yeah, it looks like there was a refinance in there. There were two mortgage statements.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and there are attorneys, by the way, that specialize in short sales. And I know the best of the best. Her name is Liz Cotter. She's been on my show with me before when I used to air on Saturdays. And I'd be happy to get that information for you. If you want to leave your phone number with Ryan, I can, you know, get to you tomorrow with Liz Cotter's phone number. And she's a short sale attorney for situations like this. So I'm sure she will have the answer on how to best proceed with that.
Yeah, and I would guess, Brian, that the bank would go after any assets that are in the estate. Like if he had investment accounts or bank accounts or anything like that that are going to his estate, I would guess a bank would try to go after them. So my point is, I wouldn't distribute any assets to heirs until you find out for sure if those are going to be taken or seized by the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, if there was an investment instrument with, you know, named beneficiary, would that be subject to them as well?
I don't know. I mean, technically it's includable in his estate, even though there are named beneficiaries, so the will wouldn't guide it. But technically, retirement accounts would be includable in his estate, in the value of his estate. Right. But I have not had a personal experience with this. I don't know for sure. But
If I could ask one more question.
Yeah, of course.
Would the expenses that we incur in winding this up, would they be second to the bank's interest? Or?
Bank is always first. But if you do a short sale, the way that the attorney that I work with, Liz, she incorporates it so the bank is basically absorbing those costs and fees as well. So it doesn't cost you as a seller anything. I know a lot of attorneys don't do it that way. So you have to be very careful when you are picking and choosing an attorney. I know that Liz, 100%, none of my clients have ever had to pay anything to get out of the situation. But there are some attorneys who do try to charge you for that as well.
It pays the realtor fee and everything.
So she gets it, so the bank pays the realtor fee and everything, you know, because the marketing and all of that, that's still, you know, involved in the whole process. So your siblings wouldn't have to pay anything.
Right. Okay. Yeah, we were just wondering, you know, for the burial costs and all of that. Would any of that be recoverable? Or?
Yeah. So did he have life insurance?
I think so. I think he had a savings bank life insurance.
I think you need to, first thing tomorrow morning, call an attorney familiar with situations like the real estate attorney, because I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what I'll do is, if you leave your name with Ryan tomorrow, I will give you a call. We can give you actually Caitlin Robinson, or we can give a couple, no, we can give you an attorney's name that does estate, you know, he's out of Braintree actually, from Brad Mahoney's office, and Brad does the show with me, so I can give you his name, and then Liz Cotter, who specializes, did it one time anyways in short sales.
Okay.
So I'll give you that information.
That would be great. Yeah, thank you very much.
Good luck, Brian.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, see, and that's the other thing, too, is, here you go. It sounds like Brian's brother. You know, I heard, actually, I was at a closing today, and I don't know if it was his brother or not, but I heard of a young attorney locally who died in a motorcycle accident over the weekend. I didn't want to ask him that, but probably not, though, if he's asking these types of questions with, you know, estate and all that. But,
right.
It really does make sense to have a document somewhere for someone to find.
Yeah, and what I was going to say before we talk to Brian is I've had a woman on my show, her name is Gwen Morgan, and she, I don't know if you've heard of it, but she created the What If Workbook. I don't know if you've heard of this.
Yeah, I did hear you on there one day.
I've had her on the show once or twice, and she actually did an event for us several years ago, but it was well received. And she basically just created this workbook that you fill out in case it happens.
Yeah.
You know, and it covers everything from what are my burial wishes to what do I want my eulogy to say to where are my financial accounts? What are my passwords? Who are the professionals that I work with? Mm-hmm. What are my wishes for, you know, after my death, et cetera? So, you know, what's the password to my, you know, safe? Things like that. It just, it puts everything in one location.
What was her name? Gwen?
Gwen Morgan. Yep. She has a website.
Yep, I'm here right now.
Yeah, okay. The What If Workbook. It's and it's, you know, I don't know if it's $20 on Amazon or something. We have some copies in our office that we hand out to clients once in a while. But it's just meant to organize your life in advance of your death and make things easier for your loved ones after your death.
Yeah, that's a really
good idea. And it's a really good idea. And I'm sure it takes some time to sit through and fill it out. I don't know how many pages it is, 50 pages or something like that. But, you know, even if you did half of it, it's a good start for your loved ones.
And you think about Brian and his, okay, so Brian, I'm assuming, let's just assume that it's out, maybe he has his own family and, you know what I mean? They have their parents possibly, but they have their own children. Yeah. Had, what, three other siblings or two other siblings. They have their own families. What are the chances that Brian's brother was like, hey, can I sit down with you and just sort of go over some things with you? Probably not.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's so important putting a team together. We talk about this all the time when it comes to real estate, when it comes to financial planning and advising. I think that's why you call it advising. We call all of our agents at our office are called sales and marketing advisors. You know, it's not just about throwing a sign out there, but the ideas and suggestions, like I said, you know, having a list of all that information is so, so important. We have to take a break so we can get your commercials. We have a commercial for Alyssa, right?
I don't know, do we?
Yep. Okay. So we're going to take that commercial real quick and then we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Alyssa Reed with McNamara Financial. My three-year-old asked me if she could have a mermaid with purple sparkly hair. I said, sure, when you save up $18 and you can start by helping me put away the laundry. She was initially frustrated but was excited to have a clear path to her goal and a few shiny quarters. The parallels I can draw between her and a pre-retiree working towards a retirement goal are uncanny. Give me a call so that I can help you outline your path to financial success. 781-834-2010.
The next time you see a baseball diamond on TV, a wide shot where you can see the whole field and everyone looks tiny, remember that the Clean Team professionally cleans as much carpet and upholstery in 1 year to cover that field more than 100 times over. That's a lot of cleaning. And the Clean Team does all of their cleaning around the South Shore and the Cape. The Clean Team has been in business for over 30 years, and aside from having a great reputation, they've earned plenty of certifications in the cleaning and restoration of fabrics.
I'm Jennifer, co-owner of the Clean Team. My husband Matt and I have spent many years tackling every type of residential and commercial cleaning job you could possibly think of. It's not just carpets and upholstery. We clean oriental rugs, leather, tile, stone, as well as grout cleaning and ceiling. We want to help you make your home clean and inviting.
So the next time you see that umpire dusting off home plate, think of the Clean Team, covering the South Shore for over 30 years. Online at thecleanteam.net.
I hate rain.
What are you talking about? I love rain.
Yeah, well, you're a duck.
Your point?
Well, being a duck, you're not a homeowner. Rain is great for the garden, but it also can bring wet, smelly basements.
I love a wet basement. Who doesn't like an indoor swimming pool?
Me. I'm calling Watchman Waterproofing.
Oh, no.
I'm Tim from Watchman Waterproofing. Water in the basement is no joke. It can damage appliances, cause mold and mildew, as well as structural damage, while decreasing your home's value. At Watchman Waterproofing, we make basements dry. No nonsense, no excuses. Whether it's a small leak or you're ankle deep, Watchman Waterproofing will solve your wet basement problem permanently. Don't wait. Call Watchman Waterproofing today at 1-800-653-4309 or go to watchmanwaterproofing.com. That's watchmanwaterproofing.com.
I never knew a dry basement could be this nice. I'm glad you went to watchmanwaterproofing.com.
We now return to Talk Real Estate, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services on 95.9 WATD.
And we're back. Good morning. Good evening to all my South Shore neighbors. You're listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara, Cindy Ford. We're both full-time real estate agents over at Boston Connect Real Estate. I am the broker owner, and we have three offices now, one in Dorchester, one in Bridgewater, and one in Pembroke. So we're servicing all over the place. And we have Alyssa McNamara Reed with us today, and we're just talking about what to do with the when you have the loss of a loved one. And we just had a good caller on. It happens. And that's why being prepared and being organized. One of the other things I wrote in my notes here, Alyssa, too, was, and if you have a question for us, Ryan is manning the phones, 781-837-4900. Usually I'm very silly, like I'll say, Ryan's in the house, but it doesn't seem like I should be doing that today.
Oh. the topic is a little more solemn and serious.
It really is. But one of the other things that I was saying about people going beforehand, I think it's such a great idea because sort of the example you were giving about your, you know, your client that came to you and was like, oh, well, my daughter doesn't really make good financial decisions. I think going to someone who's sort of unbiased, like you're not going to make a decision.
Right.
It isn't like a bunch of family members like sitting around, especially if you have a big family.
Right.
No, I don't think that you should choose Cindy. I think that you should choose Larry. I don't think you should choose Larry. I think you should, you know what I mean? Yep. Like,
yeah, there's power struggles within the family, and we see it all the time after people pass away, and we just see a lot of people fight over money, and they could have gotten along splendidly beforehand, but you know, someone has a ton of debt and they need the money, and someone else is well off and they don't think they deserve the money, and it's unfortunate.
It is.
But that, and that's why I always encourage my clients to have a discussion with your family about it. It's hard for people, and I think a lot of them don't, but I think it's helpful in advance to have a discussion about your wishes, and you know, I'm sure that's a very difficult conversation to have. I'm not sure how frequently it happens, but I think it would alleviate some of the stress afterwards.
And I think one of the advantages that we sort of have with our family and what we're going through right now is, you know, Papa is 94 years old. You know, but if both, you know what I mean? If you had, like, if Nana had deceased after Papa, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know that younger, like 60, 65-year-olds, like they're probably doing all of that communicating themselves.
Yeah.
So if I'm 60 years old and my spouse dies who's 65, chances are at 60 years old, I'm still in control of where everything is. So I'm not really maybe thinking I should go to you. But then if I should go, you know, 2 years later, where is everything? I think that that was sort of your point earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, to write it down somewhere. I mean, my dad, I know my dad just physically wrote like a letter to me and my brothers. And he did this years and years ago because he's incredibly organized. But he just wrote a physical letter, you know, dear my kids, this is what we have for assets. This is what you do after I die. These are my wishes.
Yeah.
These are the phone numbers of the people you need to call, et cetera, et cetera. And you just like, and, you know, so he didn't have a conversation with us, but he wrote everything down and he handed us a letter.
Yeah.
And it's essentially like it's essentially the information that's in that What If workbook. It's just in a different format. So he, you know, gave the information. And what adult child of someone who passes away, if they have a conversation or if they get a letter or if they see this What If workbook filled out by mom and dad, what adult is not going to honor their wishes?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And to start fighting with their kids over, no, a mom wanted me to have X and Y and Z. And so I just think it's so important. And I just think you can kind of head it off at the pass in terms of avoiding conflict.
Yeah. And I think, too, doing it yourself. I mean, I have some information that I was here with like 10 tips of like cleaning out a house after death and things like that. And should we move? Like, how do you really, you know, handle that? Like your papa wanted to move right out. I'm sensing ours wants to do the same, but not even talking about our situation. But I think that when you are making those decisions and you're writing that letter, I think maybe it is better to be sort of by yourself or with your spouse and not having those outside voices because everybody has an opinion.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'll admit in my life, my mother, like unbeknownst to me, went with my sister and made my sister her healthcare proxy and things like that. And I'm thinking in my head, clearly I am the more responsible one here. What the heck?
Yeah.
I'm like, and then I said that to my mother, and we were in the car on our way to Vermont to see Mackenzie. I go, you chose her over me? Like, I don't even get it. Like, we're having a fight before she's even dead, right?
You know? But had she explained that to you in some form, maybe you would have understood. Yeah.
But it made zero sense to me still. But again, I'm going to, you know, those are her wishes. But I was like, Liz isn't very good at making like those decisions with, not even kidding, my Bluetooth rings, right? My phone rings. It's my sister. Hey, where are you guys? Oh, we're on our way to Vermont. Is mom there? Yep. I just want to talk to her for a second. Okay, mom. Like, it's Bluetooth, you know? It's in the car. It's echoing. Yeah. She goes, mom, how long do I keep chicken breast in the oven for? 43 years old. I go, it couldn't have been timed more perfectly. So my mother gave her the directions on how to do chicken breast. I hung up the phone on my steering wheel, and I was like, and she will be deciding if we pull the plug on you. She doesn't know how to cook chicken.
When is mom done? I think she's done now.
Oh my goodness. But that's the thing. Like, you know, my sister who's like, oh yeah, I think that makes perfect sense, you know? I don't know. So
she should rethink.
Yeah, I know. But, well, hey, whatever. It's their choice. I have a lot of other things I can work on. You just heard the doorbell. That just gives me 1 minute to just quickly say, you know, talk about real estate. You can go to bostonconnect.com. You can find all the open houses. We have everything that you can think about social media. So you can find us on Instagram and Facebook and all the pages, right? Twitter and everything else. Pinterest. You can find all the open houses. If you can't go this weekend because you're doing graduations and graduation parties, you can give us a call at the office and you can get in touch with myself and Cindy at the office. And Cindy, what is your cell phone number if people want to call you directly?
781-367-4419.
Okay, and you can call the office at 781-826-8000. Alyssa, how about some final thoughts here for, you know, there's so many things that were on there, but we did cover a lot of, and I think the most important thing got out there. Have a plan.
Yeah, have a plan. You know, my there were some bullets that I did get to. I think one of the things that an heir of an estate or a beneficiary needs to be thinking about is what are their plans for the money? If, you know, at some point they'll have an idea of how much will be coming their way, and their trusted advisor hopefully will give them an idea of tax consequences related to taking money from different places. And I think just it helps me as a financial advisor. It helps me when those beneficiaries can give me some sort of an idea of if they're going to need some money right away, no money right away or all the money right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need to make decisions on our end regarding, do we keep the assets invested? Do we liquidate them and put them in cash? What are the tax consequences of doing that, if any? What's an appropriate portfolio? Where is the money going to go? Are we just sending checks or are we opening up accounts? You know, it's a lot of work on our end to settle an estate as well. And if the heirs can give us some inclination about what they are sort of thinking, we don't need any final decisions, but that's really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, most people are still in shock and don't really know, but just start thinking about it. And because we need direction too. We're sort of sitting ducks until someone starts giving us instructions, because our client has now passed away and we need to start relying on the beneficiaries or the trustees or the executors and, and things like that.
And too, from our perspective as well, I mean, working closely with you too, with, you know, the house, if you have the house to sell and all of that, like, there's so many processes, you know, do we need a license to sell? Was it in, you know, a trust? Was it in all of these different things that we have to look at to make sure that the next person really can sell it?
Right.
So that's why you need that attorney to draft everything up the right way. So when the time comes, it's in the will and we don't have to go through probate.
Right.
For court to decide and to give you a license to sell, because there is a long process, especially like I was thinking about Brian. If his brother didn't have any siblings or, I mean, children of his own, it's just that one house.
Yeah.
So, you know what, they probably will want to sell it. So they just have to make sure they don't have to go through that process. Right. I hope they don't, because it's long sometimes.
Yeah. And I would say also don't make decisions impulsively.
Exactly.
Because there can be significant tax consequences regarding someone making an impulsive decision and taking money, not knowing the tax implications of it. There can be estate-related implications. Like I was saying to Brian, I wouldn't start distributing assets until you know whether or not the bank's going to come after, because you don't want to distribute. Somebody spends the money and then the bank comes after you for those estate assets that were already distributed.
Correct.
Estates take a long time to settle, so don't send everything out until you know.
I want to stop you right there, because I want people to be able to set up appointments with you so they can talk to you for an hour at your office. What is your number and the best way?
My name is Alyssa McNamara Reed. I'm a financial advisor with McNamara Financial right here in Marshfield, and our number is 781-834-2010, or you can go to McNamaraFinancial.com. New website coming next week.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Rye.